Good morning. Ready to go. Hour number two of the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. At our studios on East Wausau Avenue, beautiful start here this morning. Fair skies, temperature of 66 degrees. What can we expect weather-wise for your Friday even into the weekend? Well, I'm glad you asked because it's time for a visit with our meteorologist from Weatherology, Michael Carroll. Mike, again, coming into work, couldn't ask for a much better way to start off our day. Sunshine, temperatures right now very pleasant. Looks like another pleasant day. As we've talked about, we need the rain, but it looks as though we're going to get some rain for this weekend, aren't we?
Yeah, we do have a chance for some rain. I think our best chance will come Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening as a cold front looks to work in from the northwest during that time frame. But yeah, another very nice day out there for today. We're headed up into the lower 80s by this afternoon with abundant sunshine outside. With our dry conditions we've been having lately, we do have some high fire danger concerns across the region. So watch out if you're doing any burning for today with the low humidity values across the region. For tonight, mostly clear skies. We'll drop back to lows in the mid-50s with winds staying calm. And already for your Saturday morning time frame, a chance for some hit-or-miss type showers there. The better chance, though, for those scattered showers and storms holding off until the afternoon and evening time frame. High temperatures working up into the upper 70s. Could maybe pick up for as much as a half inch of rainfall there through the course of your Saturday. So not completely erasing our rainfall deficits, but we'll take what we can get at this point. Saturday night, we'll drop back to a low of 50. And then for Sunday, any spotty showers wrapping up very early in the day. We'll see that sunshine return by your Sunday afternoon. So Sunday afternoon looking pretty nice for those outdoor plans. Even cooler temperatures making a return behind that front. Sunday will ease back to a high of 65. We could have some more wraparound moisture then Monday and into your Tuesday, a chance for some light rain activity there. Staying quite cool on Monday, a high of only 63. We do get back closer to average, though, by the time we get to Tuesday with mid-70s for highs, and then we're right back into the lower 80s by the middle part of next week. For the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
And again, boy, I mean, it's going to feel actually almost nippy. We're so used now, I think, to the warmer temperatures that when you get into the lower to middle 60s Sunday and Monday, you're going to have to get that light jacket back out I thought I put away here for at least a little while.
Indeed, and we'll even have some overnight lows in the 40s there for Sunday night. So, yeah, a bit on the chilly side there, but a little bit of some Mother Nature's air conditioning, saving on those electric bills there later on this weekend.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, again, thanks for the information this week. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too. Have a good one.
Right now here in Wausau, as I said, fair skies, temperature of 66 degrees. Winds are out of the west at 3 miles per hour. The dew point is 43. Relative humidity, likewise, 43%. The barometer at 29.94 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 9:10. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Hopefully you have some great plans set for the weekend. And coming up, we're going to talk about sports as we get into the weekend. Milwaukee Brewers, unfortunately, came up short. They looked to do something that nobody else had done all season long. They were looking to defeat the Baltimore Orioles and sweep the Orioles. Brewers got off to a good start in the first inning, but then Baltimore came back and won it by a score of 6-3. We'll talk about the Brewers, who remain in first place in the NL Central. The Green Bay Packers have a mini camp next week. Final 3 days, mandatory mini camp. The final mini camp before the start of training camp in July. Can you believe it? Coming up in next month, Packers will be in training camp. And then, of course, I think all the focus starts going on the green and gold as they get set for the start of a new era in 2023. I came across an article yesterday, mailbag on the Packers. And they were asking about what the floor and the ceiling, the Packer beat writer, for Jordan Love this season. Interesting numbers. I'm going to talk to Paul Micklegg about Wisconsin sports coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask him what he considers to be the floor and the ceiling for Jordan Love coming up this year. Bucks new coach, and I know the coach saw the the first press conference, and we'll talk about that coming up as well. So again, plenty to talk about as we get into the month of June with Wisconsin sports. We're going to take a quick timeout and then come back and talk to Paul Micklegg coming up next. The time is coming up on 9:12, again, Friday morning. end of the work week. Hopefully have a great Friday. Chad Holmes with you. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Is 9:15. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. It is Friday. And after missing last week because he was off in La Crosse for the WIAA State Track and Field Meets as coach of the Newman Catholic Cardinals, but glad to have back for the first time earlier. Glad that he could still come on in here to talk Wisconsin sports. Paul Miklik, head football coach, track and field coach. Is your other hat official?
No, we don't need to discuss that quite yet.
Oh, come on. Well,
but July. All right.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
How did it go in La Crosse? Because I know it's always an exciting weekend. And
good. A lot of local people and our girls and guy did well, to get down there and to get a couple more on the podium last week was great. Because going into it, we weren't supposed to have anybody on the podium. So get anybody on the podium, it's a good day. And a lot of good local, with Everest and Egner and Athens. And Central Wisconsin and track and field is well represented. Mosinee is well represented in the state of Wisconsin. So that's really good athletes in Central Wisconsin. Loyal. I mean, I can go on and on with different people, but really happy with what we did. And it's a great experience. Obviously, we didn't have to deal with the delay on Friday night because we were in the morning on Friday. So we didn't have to deal with that part of it. But the WIA does a great job and puts on a great experience, like I told you a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it's until you actually get in there and see it, you don't appreciate it until you compete in it and till you're around it. So it's good.
It's actually interesting in a different way because, and I see that late in the baseball and softball seasons, is when you have these sports that finish up after graduation or after the end of the school year, there's a different feel to it, isn't there? It's almost like for the kids, they take a little bit off their plate because school is done and now you just focus, finishing off the athletic school year on a high. But it there's a different feeling when you get to the end of May, early June, when school comes to an end, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and then we talked about that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and how it's, you know, when we get back on Saturday night, it's, you know, the seniors are already graduated, and so they're already gone, and so it's like, all right, we'll see you around, and then you got the underclassmen, and it's like, hey, we were back to work on Monday, you know what I mean? So
but no breaks.
Well, don't worry, we got people that think they need breaks. We all do, but otherwise, for the most part, they were back. they're back at it on Monday, the ones that were at state and the ones that lost in basketball or baseball the week before on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, the girls in the softball. So they're the majority of them were back, which was a pleasant surprise. And when I drove over here this morning, you know, we had, 18 guys out there playing catch and throwing the football. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, life is, it doesn't stop, does it, Jim?
No, it does not. But I did print out the football schedules yesterday, so.
We got 7-on-7 this week. First,
At Everest, right?
At Everest, and they, Coolin does a great job putting that together, and so we get to play on Steam, and they got more teams over there, so it just never. And summer league basketball starts next Monday. I mean, volleyball I think started this past Monday.
And I know that all you coaches arm wrestle to get the kids involved in your summer activities, because everybody wants them involved.
Yeah. I mean, they're busy, but, you know, honestly, you know, you got 4 years to do that, and I don't think that most coaches ask for the moon. They're just asking for, make sure that you do get that weight room and get that. Anybody that has common sense will tell you with the weight room and speed enhancement, stuff like that, and then all the other stuff kind of just adds in there. Those are what good coaches do. That's how they do it.
Well, I have to admit, I enjoyed looking at the schedules just to start thinking.
Are you going to be out there on Sunday night?
I think I'll get out there.
Wes has got a couple teams in that league.
Yeah, no, I can get the... Start to get into the football feel of it, you know?
Yes. Well, I don't know if you had time since you'd be cutting the grass all weekend.
I know. Which is something that I'm going to get one of those old-time ones, you know, when you push it and the blades go... Not the riding boards, but without an engine. Just.
When's the last time you cut grass?
Man, that's a long time because I don't have to cut grass.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean.
As a renter,
yes,
I don't have to grow. Yeah, I can't remember the last time I had to cut grass. Man, I'm gonna go back in my memory bank here. But then, like I said before you came on, everything rolls together. Anyways, I have no idea.
It could have been
3 weeks ago. It could have been 12 years ago, and I won't know. Again, we're talking to Paul Micklake here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Why don't we jump to football? I was going to start with the instant. But the Packers have a mandatory minicamp next week, their final mandatory minicamp before a training camp begins next month, which is, again, I was saying, this is, you know, craziness.
Yep.
Because we're going to be because once the Packers start training camp, the focus goes on Green Bay Packer football here in the state of Wisconsin, no matter what else is going on.
Yep.
But I was looking at an article yesterday in The Athletic. I get The Athletic, and they had a Packer question and answer session, a mailbag with their Packer beat writer. And one of the questions was, what do you think is the floor for Jordan Love, and what do you think is the ceiling for Jordan Love? And I got it here. I wanted his numbers. It's like, if he got to his floor, he's going to have a darn good season. This guy, Matt Schneidman, who is the staff writer for The Athletic covering the Packers, said, he goes, I'll give him a floor of 24 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions. Rodgers had 28 and 13 in his first year as a starter, and a ceiling of 35 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. The reality is he'll probably be somewhere in between. I'll go 31 and 11 if he stays healthy. Number one, those are pretty darn good numbers. And also number two, it shows again how quarterback numbers for this era are completely skewed to historical numbers. I mean, it's really amazing the numbers that we see with the quarterback play. Do you have any thoughts on maybe a floor or a ceiling for Jordan Love, maybe what you're kind of expecting here? Because he did have the tutelage. I think he goes in a pretty good spot where he's not been asked to come right in. He had a chance to, you know, be in the Packers system now for a number of years. So he's got, I think, some advantages, but still, he's a new starting quarterback. Maybe what are your thoughts on a ceiling and a floor for a Jordan Love in 2023?
Well, if you're going, okay, you got 17 games, and so that's 34 touchdowns is two a game, so that's not that far off of two a game, which that's 14 points. And you're talking that you think that they're going to run the ball, so you'll probably at least get one more touchdown there, if not two. Well, then they should be 13-4.
They should be going. I mean,
if you're
going to
talk 31,
you're not making mistakes. 11 picks. I mean, you're not giving up the ball that much either.
Correct. Everybody wants to go analytics here. I mean,
if he goes 31-11, you'll be seeing him at the Pro Bowl next year.
Yeah, I mean that's and the Packers are, you know, and I saw Tauscher say yesterday too. I mean, all these teams do got problems. Who says that they're not going to win? I mean, last time Detroit won the division, I think Clinton was president. I think that's what he said.
I think you're right.
And Chicago still has their wart, so to speak, and so does Minnesota. They got Cook, and they're going to lose him. Yeah. I mean, they got issues. So who says that they can't win that? I think the NFL's different. It's wide open. It's different. You know, you probably got 6 to 8 teams that probably can legitimately win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. And is Green Bay one of them? Probably not. But I don't know if those other three teams are either, to be honest with you. So now you play those guys 6 times. So if you do have 2 touchdowns that game, you know what I'm saying? You just kind of go from there where you start from, mm-hmm. and there's your 12 touchdowns between those 6 games. And that's kind of how you got to look at it. And so anything over 20, I would think, would be okay. I mean, because I would think that Aaron Jones is going to have more rushing touchdowns than he had last year because mm-hmm. He didn't have that great a year with touchdowns-wise. Right, I mean, rushing the ball. So
Aaron always wanted those touchdown passes.
Yeah, they would do that flip or whatever the case might be. Put him in motion and flip him. He hit twice, I know for sure.
A lot of 1 and 2 yard touchdown passes. I think this year we may see a lot more 1 and 2 yard touchdown runs between AJ and also Jones.
Well, I think AJ's going to run the ball hard. I don't think he ran the ball as hard as he did the year before, and I think he would admit to that. Not that it was purposely. It was just it didn't look like he was getting that. The year before, he would always go from 2 to 3 yards or 3 to 4, whatever the case might be. And last year, it seemed like he had some more, I don't want to say negative runs, but 0-yard runs or 1-yard run.
I think that's partially with the play calling as well. You got to get a guy like that into a rhythm. I mean, running back, it's not easy when you're sharing the load. You're sharing the load as a running back, and you're also in a system that relies mostly on the pass.
I'm blaming in part on the quarterback too. I mean on that. I mean
that guy in New York.
Yeah. We're not gonna say his name anymore. we'll do that too. That's a whole different story. But I think that they're more of a finesse team.
Yeah.
That's how they were.
I don't know if they're. Yes, exactly right. Because again, I know we keep. I think ever since they got LaFleur, you keep going back to what he did. And again, he wasn't at Tennessee that long. He was there for 1 year calling plays. So the idea that he had this incredible system that the Matt LaFleur offense, he came into a system that was, you know, led by a running back.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not sure because they came from the Rams, who have, you know, I think has the mindset that Green Bay has. They're a team that wants to throw first. Yep. So again, what the real Matt LaFleur is, I think we still have to find out.
Correct. I mean, and that's what we talked about before.
I think they want to be tougher. I think they do want to be tougher. I think just listening to the man, he wants to be tougher. Tougher mentality on the offensive side.
And that starts with the offensive line. I think they're more of pass protection first and then run block second. But, you know, there's many ways to skin a cat and whatever it takes to do it. And they did it. I mean, they have done it. I mean, they've won. So whatever they've been doing has worked. Obviously, right. Last year it did not. But again, I would say that was more of quarterback-led. And that's why reading some articles about Love in the last couple weeks, you know, and I'm not saying that he's the next coming of Bart Starr, but, you know, those receivers are getting the time with him and they're doing stuff and maybe there is age. Not that I think age matters in that, because Brady went and won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, so I don't think that really matters. But he also did bring some of his guys back, his old guys, right. You know, with him, right. Over there. But you know, he's doing those kinds of things off the field. On the field, telling them to come in the next month they have off after them to come out to California and go to his his camp that he runs during the off season, and Dobbs was there some during the course and stuff. So those are the things that, you know, people don't want to. You can sit there and do everything else, but that's good stuff.
Absolutely. So it's number one. It's going to be exciting. I think that's, you know, again, there's going to be a lot of, I think, a lot of new energy in Titletown when the season, the preseason gets underway, training camp even. We have to take a quick time out. We have a news update coming up, CBS News. We'll find out the latest on the Trump indictment and more. Also, a civic media news update as well. Then we'll come back more with Paul Miklag on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 66 degrees, fair skies, expecting a lot of sunshine today in a high reaching 79. Some rain expected tomorrow, and we'll have more details on the forecast coming up in just a little bit. Again, we are talking Wisconsin sports along with Paul Miklag here on the final workday of the week, heading towards the weekend. Well, the Brewers looked like they were going to get a sweep yesterday. Had the 3-0 lead early, had the lead late into the game. But we've talked about it. There's been some hiccups at times getting that last third of the game, and that's where they kind of lost it yesterday. But still, 2-3 against a pretty good Baltimore team, still in first place. So I guess you could look at it glass half full or glass half empty after the early week series with Baltimore.
They do better when I don't watch, because I actually got home a little earlier yesterday, and so they're up 3-0, you know, and going the seventh inning, and I'm thinking, I just get home and I'm watching it. I'm like, all right,
just cruising along, Colin Rain doing his job again, and
then their bullpen fell apart. Which you're gonna have times that happens. To be honest with you, I still don't know if it's going to. Gonna hold up as the year going on, but for the most part they have so far. I mean, yesterday obviously was an abbreviation of it, but and they still got scoring runs issue, you know. I mean they had those three in the first inning, they never had anything again. They're gonna go through those droughts, and they just don't have the consistent and they had opportunities too yesterday to do that, and I know they scored 10 runs the night before, but that's, again, that might be an abbreviation too on that. So
well, I'm just looking down the line here of their lineup yesterday. You got Yelich, who's hitting .258. You got Adames, who's hitting .211. You got Tellez, who's hitting .228. Contreras, .246. You got Weimer at .231 after an incredibly red-hot stretch where he was under 200. Anderson, .236. I mean, they are who they are, but when you got Corbin Burns pitching like he did the other night, I mean, again, he showed like the Cy Young guy right there. I mean, that was a Cy Young performance.
Yep.
You love to see it where you go deep into a game. You don't see that enough these days, and that's why he's going to make a whole lot of money when he does become a free agent, and probably why he won't be a Milwaukee Brewer for that much longer.
Correct, and he seems like it takes him a little while in the season to get going, and now he's probably going to start hitting that groove, and Peralta pitched well on Tuesday night also. I mean, so they got and obviously they got Colin Ray yesterday pitching well. Somehow they're taking guys and they just are making them pitch. I mean, and making them into superstars, all of them, to be honest with you, that starting rotation, because they're down quite a few. But again, you got to be able to hit. I mean, that averages, those are terrible. Let's be honest with you.
Well, they better put up some good numbers this weekend. Obviously, Oakland has been struggling, even though they beat
two
Pittsburgh.
Out of three.
I know they beat Pittsburgh twice. But again, for this weekend, you want to see a sweep if you're Milwaukee on the road. But also, you look at the division. I mean, they're 34-29, and there's actually a gap when you get Milwaukee and Pittsburgh, who's been up and down. Like, I mean, you talk about schizophrenic, they've been schizophrenic, but I mean, the Reds, I mean, the Brewers, that series last weekend was actually pretty significant, winning 3 out of 4 in Cincinnati, because they're now in third place. You got the Cubs, who've been scuffling, they've lost 4 in a row. And then St. Louis, after having a good stretch, they've started playing garbage again. I mean, this division is just there for the taking. It feels like even with the offense, the Brewers don't have. They got enough pitching, I think, to get to the playoffs. And when you get to the playoffs, the pitching sometimes can carry you a long way in a shorter series.
We're talking playoffs?
I'm talking playoffs.
Oh, my.
I'm thinking big picture here.
In June. Just remember, they had a big lead. They had a big lead at the end of July last year.
I was going to say, probably go back a year, look at what the standings looked like a year ago. They probably about five games better than they are now.
Correct. Well, because they had their best, was it best May they've ever had? Or right.
They were like 12, 13, something over 500.
Yes, they were really cruising. And they started actually slipping in June a little bit. And then July, obviously, at the end of July, they really hit the thing. But Chad, pitching is, but do they have the pitching? You're saying they have the pitching, but we don't know they have the pitching because.
And I still have this mindset where you have the starters that are able to carry you right through it. You could have three starters in a playoff series that have an ERA of under one and still lose the series. Because they are not going to complete games like they did in the past. So you're right. You're walking a thin wire. From one end to the other.
Well, I mean, one of your all-stars is not pitching right now. Would you? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you're talking about him. Wade Miley's out. I mean, again, I'm not saying that these other guys, but my mindset always is like, there is a reason why he hasn't pitched since 2000 Tarrant. What I'm saying?
The Atlanta guy.
Yes, there has to be a reason.
Tehran,
yes. Yeah. There has to be a reason why he hasn't pitched in the major, even though he's pitched great so far.
I know.
But, you know, I mean, it's going to hit midnight sooner or later, I would think. And
the pumpkin will arrive.
Yes, it will arrive. And that's my guess on that, because those averages usually average out. But you need to get those top-heavy guys back, Woodruff and Wade Miley, and get that. Hauser has pitched. He's pitched awesome.
I know.
I mean, lights out. Yep. I mean, but where has he been before?
Yeah, Hauser and Burns like now look like two of the best in baseball right now, frankly. You know, it's like.
And you're telling me that Hauser has the best stuff in baseball? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you are, but you know what I'm getting at? Like,
right.
There's got to be. Burns has the stuff.
Yeah,
okay?
Burns
Woodruff has the stuff to be those guys, and I just don't know if they have enough top-level guys unless they get those two guys back for the long haul.
And frankly, we have not seen them make that move lately during the trade season, before the trade deadline. It feels like this is a team that could use a jolt, whether with a bat or with another arm, maybe both.
Correct.
It feels as though, man, it feels as though, how long are you going to have this opportunity? They've had opportunities here for a number of years, and they haven't made a CC Sabathia trade.
Correct.
To kind of change the dynamic in the last half of the season. You kind of like to see it, wouldn't you? This year, because in a soft Central Division, it could be the difference where then all of a sudden, not only can you kind of pull away, set yourself up for the playoffs, and then have a chance in the playoffs. Because this group, with the kind of pitching they've had over the last number of years, you feel like they've kind of let opportunities slip away. And this may be the last opportunity. Let's go for it for once.
For once, they've gone for it before.
But I mean, making the deal that would really kind of.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I would think it's actually on the back half because right now, Devin Williams, he's a true stud. That guy is, I mean, he's one run all year. He's nasty. But the problem is if those guys, those top heavy guys, are not lights out. What are you doing in the seventh and eighth inning?
I know.
I mean, because now so those are two huge innings. It doesn't matter if it's first or second inning or seventh and eighth inning. Those two innings, and they're stretching Williams a little bit, but they need another huge arm to forget that seventh and eighth inning, because those two guys could do three innings.
Right. And you can't have many more games like yesterday. We've seen a few of those games already, and we're just in early June.
And you are going to, because I don't want to overreact, because I usually do overreact.
But we've actually seen this be a bit of a pattern where the last third, when it's not Williams, you see it kind of. I think there's been a few.
You're going to have a few. It's 162 games.
Well, it's
Chad.
Only June the 9th. I mean, come on. If you
just told me that they're going to the World Series 2 seconds ago. Well, now you're worried about.
I'm making a trade, and we're going to the World Series. There you go. By the way, off kind of off topic. Did you see this new red, De La Cruz by any chance, the home run he hit the other night? He's a rookie. They just called him up after the Brewers series. He started, you know, the games against L.A. this week, and he had a, like a 489-foot home run. This guy looks like a game changer. Just a real exciting guy. I just, you know.
It's good to have that for baseball because I think you need those.
Especially for Cincinnati and these other, I mean, obviously he'll have his 6 years and then go off to the Dodgers or the Yankees. But, yeah. But literally, this guy, I mean, he had a triple where he got from home to third, the fastest in like 2 years. I mean, nobody's done it faster in the last two seasons. And then they had the 489-foot home run. I mean, just real. I mean, just exciting stuff. You, to see a kid come up and just against the Dodgers, who is obviously, you know, a team that's expected to, you know, perhaps, you know, at least get to the playoffs and the way they, you know, their expectations of World Series. So I just thought that
where
was
they exciting. Buy themselves usually world. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, they put themselves in position every year.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they have the resources.
And I guess finally, the Bucks did finally announce Adrian Griffin had his press conference. Also yesterday, heard Chris Middleton some surgery on his knee. It's interesting because we have to wait and see whether Middleton will take his $40 million player option. I got to think coming off knee surgery, he's going to take that player option, don't you?
No, he'll restructure it. Really? He'll get to take a longer contract.
Oh, okay.
I truly believe that he is actually in it for to win. And for them to win, he has to take
and
that.
And even if he leaves and even if Lopez leaves, it does not mean the Bucks would have any money under the salary cap. So basically they have no choice but to run it back.
Yep. They got no choice but to run it back. So and
they're in cap purgatory right now.
Yeah.
I would use stronger language.
Well, because that's what that's what happened when you sell
good.
Out. I
when
mean, you know what I'm saying? When you're trying to go for the win and you're trying to win the whole
and
thing.
And also when you have the best player in basketball. I mean, and then you, and in this era of NBA play, you have to have multiple stars.
Correct.
So, you have, again, it's just the way it is. I mean, there was no way. Oh, why are they over the cap? No, it's just the way it is. And ultimately, then you have to recycle at some point. But at this point with Giannis for another hopefully half dozen years or so at a very high level, you have to keep running it back.
Well, for at least another year.
And you hope that, and I know that one of the criticisms of Budenholzer is we didn't see any of these young players develop. Somebody's got to develop at some point. You know, somewhere, somebody's going to have to step in and become a player because you literally can't go out and buy a new superstar at this point.
Correct. But, you know, the one thing, and again, Giannis is the tremendous human being, tremendous player. But I did find it interesting this week, I think, that Bud got fired because Giannis didn't want him. I mean, you know, and I'm all these people like, oh, it's because they lost in the playoffs. I'll tell you this right now, for a fact. Oh. If Giannis would have said, I want Bud, 100%. He would still have been there.
Right, and the thing is, after the fire, I did not hear anything.
You said that a couple weeks ago. And after you said that, I've been watching, and now they're saying that he didn't have the relationship with Giannis like Giannis wanted.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, that's going to be somebody's going to write the story eventually. The background is going to be a very interesting story, definitely to talk about. Oh, Griffin, we were at lunch the other day, and he said came across a little nervous.
And then after I said that, I kind of was listening some more to Hurst and why they hired him.
Right.
And this analytics stuff is just getting crazy.
Because I know.
They literally said. That's how he got to the 20 people was they went through analytics of how to – I didn't know you could do that for coaches, but I guess they can because they say who they were around and stuff like that and who they coached for and their success rate and this and that. And they were going – you know, I'm sure there's 10,000 different things that they can put in there. And is that what we're going to do? Is coaching become a robot? Is that what we're getting to? Because I'm gonna tell you this right now, that's not gonna last long.
But the thing about that, the analytics aspect, all the analytics mean nothing unless Giannis said he wanted him. So he went through all this analytics, but we're gonna take him to Giannis's house.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you like him, Giannis? Okay, sounds good. We're hiring him.
The analytics had 90% until they went to Giannis, then it became 90% Giannis. But no, I mean that. Again, I'm an old man yelling at the clouds when it comes to baseball, especially where you have all this analytics, and now in all the other sports as well. Again, it's like instead of having a general manager, just have a computer expert.
Correct. I mean, why do we even have people? We just have rules. I mean, again, I'm not saying I don't like it because it's a new thing, but I'm going to tell you this right now.
The level of it, right?
The level of it is because that interview, at least for me personally, was one of the what's the word?
Not awkward,
not sharp, not things. I mean, there was a lot of repeating. There was a lot of, it looked like it was his first time. And you're going to say, well, it was his first time. And I'm going to say, yes, I know that.
But he's also a veteran coach.
He's 46 years old.
He's not a kid.
He was in the NBA. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like he hadn't talked to people before.
Exactly. Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. Great way to finish off the work week. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you at 7 on 7 on Sunday.
Sunday night. You have a great weekend, Chip.
Paul Micklegg. We'll take a break. Come right back here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Today, it is June the 9th of 2023. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. College basketball commentator, former coach, Dick Vitale turning 84 years old today. Also, actor Michael J. Fox. Boy, inspiration. Of course, he appeared at the Grand Theater just a couple of months back, and people were just raving about his show and his discussion about his battle. And Michael J. Fox, 62 years old today. Johnny Depp, a man that was in the headlines for not such good reasons in the past year or so. Johnny Depp is 60 today. Actor Gloria Rubin of ER and The Agency is 59 years old. Actor Natalie Portman turning 42. Actor Mae Whitman of Parenthood and Arrested Development is 35 years old today. Actor Logan Browning of Dear White People is 34. And gymnast Lori Hernandez is 23 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio. And happy birthday to my sister. One of my sisters is celebrating a birthday today as well. Some famous events, that occurred on this date in history. In 1790, Philadelphia Spelling Book by John Barry became the first book to be copyrighted in the United States. On this date in 1869, Charles Elmer Heyer sold his first root beer in Philadelphia. On this date in 1909, Alice Hyler Ramsey, a 22-year-old housewife and mother from Hackensack, New Jersey, became the first woman to drive across the United States, with three female companions, none of whom could drive a car. For 59 days, she drove a Maxwell automobile the 3,800 miles from Manhattan, New York to San Francisco, California. On this date in 1915, Les Paul was born in Waukesha. In the 1940s and 1950s, he transformed popular music by inventing the modern solid-body electric guitar. On this date in 1980, comedian Richard Pryor suffered near-fatal burns at his home when a mixture of freebase cocaine exploded. On this date in 1986, the Rogers Commission released its report on the Challenger disaster, criticizing NASA and rocket builder Morton Thiokol for management problems leading to the explosion that claimed the lives of 7 astronauts. On June the 9th of 1994, in North Yorkshire, England, car thieves stole British Home Secretary Michael Howard's bulletproof car while he was attending a meeting of police chiefs. The car was found later minus all 4 wheels. On this date in 2011, we talked a bit about, the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund investing in sports washing, basically buying up the PGA Tour this week. Well, on this date, just 12 years ago, in Saudi Arabia, 6 women were arrested for practicing driving in an empty car lot. Doesn't that depress you? That this country that's still so far behind the times, that persecutes women and gays and others, is trying to buy up so many different businesses and trying to sport wash their terrible human rights record. So, just a thought. On this date in 2016, the World Health Organization advised delaying pregnancy in areas with the Zika virus. On this date in 2019, Ally Stroker became the first actress in a wheelchair to win a Tony Award for the musical Oklahoma. And on this date, 1 year ago today, June the 9th of 2022, 2 people are rescued after falling into a tank of chocolate at the M&M Mars factory in Pennsylvania. So those are some of the famous events that occurred on this date, June the 9th in history. Special events being celebrated today. It is Donald Duck Day. So if you're a big fan of Donald Duck, this day is for you. It is Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day and National Marriage Day. So for you married folks, big day, National Marriage Day. Also, it is Jelly and Peanut Butter Sandwich Day. We grow up believing peanut butter is the most important ingredient on a PB&J sandwich. So today, we give jelly its due. So it's Jelly and Peanut Butter Sandwich Day. So again, lots to celebrate. Again, weather-wise for today, lots of sunshine. Boy, a beautiful start out there right now. The sunny skies will continue. High will reach near 79 degrees. Calm winds becoming west-northwest at 5 to 8 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 54. For the weekend, we need some rain. Yeah, we need some rain. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 5 p.m., high near 77. So again, for much of the day, it'll be dry, but then later on in the afternoon, see some of that rain. And again, we heard from Michael Carroll, we could see about a half an inch of rain possible tomorrow. Showers and thunderstorms are likely coming up on Saturday night, mainly before 8 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy and a low of 49. And Sunday, a 30% chance of showers before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny. Bit cooler, high near 65. Right now, sunny skies and 81 degrees here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Well, that's going to wrap up today and the week here on the Chad Holmes Show. Thanks to Paul Micklick for joining us today. Have yourselves a great weekend. Stick around. Kristen Bry, Jane Matinere coming up, as goes Wisconsin from 10 until noon. Again, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday morning at 8 a.m. I'm Chad Holmes. This has been the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.